Now, if you'll turn in your Bibles to the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 5. While you're finding your place, may I say again that it's a joy to greet you today. Especially are we happy for those who are visiting with us in our services. I trust that the services will be a real blessing to you. May I remind you of the Sunday evening worship hour for just a brief moment. Last Sunday evening, I spoke from the subject of demons and demonology. And basically and fundamentally, last Sunday night's message was an introduction to the message that I shall be speaking from tonight, the universal conflict in the unseen world of the spirits. There is much emphasis today on spiritism, on devil worship, on demonology, and the like. So my message tonight is of grave importance, and I trust that you would avail yourself of the opportunity to hear the message, part two, the universal conflict in the world of the unseen spirits. Are demons real? Do they possess people today? How do they work in the 20th century? That's tonight at 7 o'clock, that universal conflict among the citizens of the unseen world. I hope that you'll come. And I'd like for you to bring a neighbor and a friend and come early so that you can get a good seat tonight at 7 o'clock. Now, Matthew chapter 5, I read beginning at verse 17. And I shall read 17, 18, 19, and 20 after we pause in a moment of prayer. Our Father, we truly thank Thee this morning for this wonderful congregation, for this October Sunday, for this time of harvest. It is now our prayer that as the message begins, the Holy Spirit would hush our hearts. May they be open and pliable to the Word of God. May the Holy Spirit speak through us, lest we speak in vain, and our words become as a tinkling cymbal and a sounding brass. May even the little boys and girls know that Jesus is here. And this is the time of worship. Save the lost, add to the church, reclaim those who have drifted afar, and get glory for Thy name out of this service is our prayer. In Jesus' name and for His sake, amen. Now I want you to listen carefully and attentively to the Word of God. Matthew chapter 5, I read at verse 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am come not to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. I read a story that was rather amusing, rather shocking, and certainly tells a whole lot of truth. It was about a pastor who had been called back to his former church to preach on a special occasion. As soon as he arrived, one of his dear saints of yesteryear met him at the front door. And she proceeded to tell him all the things that had happened since he'd been gone. She recited all of the personal history of all the members. And finally she said to the pastor, "And Reverend, I suppose you heard about my dear husband Albert. Since you've been gone, he died and went to heaven." Well, the pastor remembered Albert as being one of those Christmas time, Easter time worshipers whose personal life of morality had a whole lot to be desired. So he, trying to find something to say, said, "Oh, Albert has died and gone to heaven? Well, I'm sorry." Well, he saw that didn't go over too well. So he said to him, "What I meant to say was, I'm glad." And that was even worse. So trying to heal his earlier wounds or her earlier wounds, he hastened to say, "What I really meant to say was, I'm surprised." Well, there are surprises for us. In fact, I think some of you will be surprised when you get to heaven. First of all, you'll be surprised because you see some people you did not expect to see when you get there. Then secondly, I think you'll be surprised because you don't see some people that you did expect to see when you get there. And then, folks, some of you will be surprised that you made it. Surprises. Three emotions were contained in this pastor's answer, and I want us to think about them this morning. Sorrow, gladness, and surprise. My message, are you, I'm talking to you now, are you good enough for heaven? Well, that's an unusual question. Has anybody ever asked you that question before? Nobody ever asked me that. Are you good enough for heaven? Some people react with sorrow to the words of Jesus, especially those words in verse 17. Let me rehearse some of them again for you. The words of verse 17 in Matthew 5, some people react with sorrow. Jesus said, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am come not to destroy, but to fulfill." Those people are sorry because Jesus states plainly that he did not come to destroy that law, but to give it meaning, deeper meaning, fulfill it. They are sorry because Jesus made it clear. And I want to make this clear this morning too. There is nothing cheap and easy about Christianity. Now I know, and you know, that salvation is free, but it isn't cheap. Jesus made it plain. Christianity is not cheap. You know, there are a lot of people that are still looking for a bargain basement faith. They're looking for a discount house religion. Beloved, the Bible doesn't speak about any bargain basement religion. The Bible doesn't speak about a special sale or a discount. The Bible speaks about that which is precious and costly and timeless and eternal. So a lot of people are sorry when Jesus says, "I didn't come to do away with that strenuous law that Moses gave you. I came to make it more meaningful for your life." Then there are those who react with gladness to the words of Jesus in verse 19. "Whosoever shall do and teach these things in the law shall be called the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." They're glad because to them Christianity is abiding by certain rules and certain regulations. To them Christianity is a set of do's and don'ts. Don't smoke. Don't curse. Don't chew. Don't steal. Don't lie. Don't murder. Don't cheat. Don't be dishonest. And then on the other side of that balance sheet, the do's. Do go to church. Do read the Bible. Do love your neighbor. Do say grace before meals. Do say your little now I lay me down to sleep at bedtime. Do pay your bills. Do be kind and courteous and all of these things. This set of rules of do's and don'ts. Now don't misunderstand me. I'm not encouraging you to go out and do some of those things I mentioned don't do. And I'm not telling you ought not to do some of those things I said do. But this is not Christianity. A man is not saved because he doesn't chew, smoke, drink, dance, curse, and all of that. He doesn't do these things because he is saved. A man isn't saved because he goes to church and reads his Bible and says grace before the meals and a prayer at night and is kind and courteous. He does these things because he is saved. Because he does know Christ. You see, these people reacting with gladness to the words of Jesus sort of happily say to themselves, well, I can't do those things of the law right now, but after I've had my fling, someday, sometime, somehow, I'll settle down, I'll start obeying the rules, and then I'll go to heaven. Oh, you can't trifle with your soul in that manner, mister. You cannot react to the teaching of the Word of God in that fashion. Because Christianity, living for Christ, is not obeying certain rules or abiding by certain regulations. Christianity is a way of life. Christianity is Christ living in you, the hope of glory. Then there are those who act with that third emotion, surprise, to the words of Jesus in verse 20. And believe me, this is surprising. Listen to it again. I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed, go beyond, the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no wise, under no circumstance, can you go to heaven. That's shocking. Why, that's a bit surprising. It almost sounds unfair. Because after all, the people who heard this, and you and I know, that the Pharisees and the scribes were the most religious people on earth. Why, not only did they keep the law of Moses, they had 600 unwritten, oral, traditional laws by which they governed their lives. Now, these people think that righteousness is the proper observance and the proper understanding of the law. The trouble with the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees was this. It was self-made, self-styled, self-designed. It was, shall we say, self-imposed. They considered themselves as holy and righteous because they didn't do this or they did do that. Such righteousness is polluted. God said so, Isaiah 64:6. All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. The trouble with the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees is the same thing that's wrong with a lot of people today who have adorned themselves in clothes of self-righteousness. It's not long enough. It's not high enough. It's not broad enough. It's not deep enough. No religion is high enough or long enough or broad enough or deep enough that does not embrace the finished work of Christ on the cross. No religion. No amount of doing this or that or the other is wide enough, high enough, long enough, deep enough, unless it comes to grips with the redemptive work of God's Son giving his life on Calvary's cross. Many religious people are going to be lost. A lot of people who never smoked or drank or cursed or swore or stole anything are not going to heaven. Let me repeat that. A lot of people who have never drunk, who have never stolen, who have never sworn, who have never cursed are going to miss heaven. The plain truth is, the only ones that are good enough for heaven are those who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. I say unto you, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Did you know that some people are too good to go to heaven? Now that's a shocker. I never heard it put that way before. Some people are too good to go to heaven. And some people are just plain too bad to go to hell. Let me explain. There are a lot of people who are so good within themselves. They think so highly of themselves. They are so righteous that they do not see the need of the shed blood of Christ for their sins. They're too good to go to heaven. And they'll never go to heaven because they won't come by the way of the cross. They won't admit that they are sinful, they are lost, they are dirty and vile and unclean. They are so good, they don't see their need of a Savior. On the other hand, there are some people who are so bad, who are so despicable, who are so despised, who are so depraved, who are so degraded. The only thing they can do is look up and depend on help from an outer source, from somewhere else. They are so bad they'll miss hell because they'll trust Jesus Christ as their righteousness and their Savior. Why, Paul was good. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. As touching the law of Moses, he was absolutely blameless. But Paul was not good enough to go to heaven until one day on the Damascus Road, he had an experience with Christ. The rich young ruler was good. Why, he said he never murdered. He never told a lie. He never stole anything. He honored his mother and his daddy. He never committed adultery. He never did any of those things. But he was not good enough to go to heaven until he was willing to follow Jesus Christ. Why, the man Nicodemus, he was one of the best sort of fellows you'd ever want to meet. Ruler of the Jews, rabbi. Why, he was a good man, a just man, a righteous man. But he wasn't good enough to go to heaven until he had experienced the new birth. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "You must be born again." The Pharisees were good people. Why, you'd like to have people like that as your neighbors and people to do business with. They were honest, they were kind, they were courteous, they were righteous, but they were not good enough for heaven until they were willing to forsake their righteousness and trust the righteousness of Christ. Say, so you've heard about the woman at the well in the Scripture, haven't you? Let me ask you a question. Do you think the woman at the well was good enough to go to heaven? You've heard about that woman over in John 8 that was taken in adultery. Do you think she was good enough to go to heaven? You've heard about that thief on the cross, haven't you? He was a liar and a murderer and a criminal and died because he was a criminal. Why, would you ever guess that he was good enough to go to heaven? Yet Jesus said to the woman at the well, If you'll drink of the water that I give you, it'll spring up in you as a well of everlasting life. He said to the woman who was taken in adultery, in the very act of adultery, they dragged her to Jesus, and Jesus said, neither do I condemn thee. Go thy way and sin no more. The thief on the cross admitted a criminal, admittedly a robber. You think he was good enough to go to heaven? Yet Jesus said to him, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. Now I'm glad Jesus didn't say to him, now someday somewhere on the beautiful isle of somewhere, you might see me. Jesus didn't say sometime somewhere after you spent 100 years in purgatory, you might be in heaven. Jesus didn't say if you'll get down off of this cross and go out there and restore everything you've stolen and resurrect everybody you've killed and pay back everything you've taken wrong and be baptized or something or another, you'll be in heaven. He didn't say that. He simply said, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. At our first glance, we'd answer no. These people aren't good enough to go to heaven. Wait, do you think you're good enough to go to heaven? Do you think we're good enough to go to heaven? We know ourselves better than anybody else. Now let's just be honest. Do you really think we are good enough to go to heaven? And yet Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Men go to heaven without wealth, honor, fame, science, learning, wisdom, prosperity, fame, and all of that. But men don't go to heaven without Christ as their Savior. Are you good enough? There's only one way, and that's the way of the cross. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Peter said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Paul said, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. The poet said, Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure, and save from wrath and make me pure. In my hand no price I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. There is but one way. Let me say this to you this morning. You may not have enough money in your pocket to buy a ticket to Dallas, but don't worry about it. Jesus has paid the way for you to go to heaven. Amen. He's already purchased the ticket. He's already made the reservation. All you've got to do is step on the glory train. Amen. Even if you couldn't get to Dallas, you can get to heaven. You might not have enough education to say the alphabet this morning, but Jesus has the words of life. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. You may not have enough strength to make your way down to this altar this morning, but Jesus went all the way to the cross, to the summit of Calvary, bearing his cross, and there he died on it. You may not have enough religion to name one saint, but all the name you need this morning is the name of Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All you need this morning is the theology of the thief. Why, he'd never heard the word predestination. He'd never heard the word transubstantiation. He'd never heard the word justification or sanctification or atonement. All he knew to do was to look at Jesus and say, "Remember me." And that's all you need today. Just look at Jesus and say, "Remember me." All you need is the prayer of the publican. You may not know A from apple butter about praying, but if you'll just pray the sinner's prayer, "God be merciful to me, a sinner," then believe it or not, you will be good enough for heaven. Amen. Let's stand for our prayer. Our Father, this morning, how we do rejoice because we know that in us there is nothing good, but Christ has paid the way for us. In our hands no price we bring. We have nothing to commend us to Thee. We're lost, we're undone, we're helpless without Thee. Dear God, I pray this morning that Thou wouldst help us all to see that we're not good enough for heaven, except with the Lord Jesus as our personal Savior. No amount of righteousness which we could do, not by works, but by grace, we know we're saved. Now, Heavenly Father, if there are those this morning who are willing to forsake their righteousness, who are willing to look to Jesus even as the thief on the cross and cry out, "Remember me." If there would be those who would have no more theology than that, may they come. If there would be those who have no prayer in their heart but the sinner's prayer, "God be merciful to me, a sinner," may they come this morning. May they kneel at an old-fashioned altar. May they open the door of their heart. May they cry in sincerity of soul. May they simply trust the Lord Jesus, knowing that except our righteousness would exceed all of that righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, we cannot enter heaven. Help us just to depend upon the righteousness of Christ. Believe on Him and trust Him. For we know Thy word teaches that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. May it be so, is our prayer in Jesus' name.